The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier physical therapy and pain management facility. Here are your hosts, Blake Rosen and Dr. Albert Talone.
It's Tuesday afternoon in the Delaware Valley, Tuesday, February 6, 2018, and we come to you live from the city of Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles, where in 48 hours, we are 48 hours away from 3 million of your closest fans and friends who will gather for what will be an incredible parade and celebration. They're already billing it as the parade of all parades right here in the Delaware Valley, and a special show for you as we come to you on Tuesday. Welcome into the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. And to my right, normally I have J-Doc positioned comfortably coming in to the studio 60 seconds out before the light turns green. Marla Villarello is here with me. Marla, I'm very excited to do the show with you today. How are you?
I am so pumped. I am so excited to be here. And good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon to you. And thanks for being with us. And a special shout out to all of our listeners who are part of the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB. It's a great week to be in Philadelphia. A great week, certainly, to be around the Delaware Valley. We're going to get and bring into the conversation Dr. Lou Galasso from down at Weinerman Pain and Wellness with a very timely conversation about water, hydration, and all of that. Couldn't be more timely than as we expect that large crowd to gather in Philadelphia. Later on, 12:45 today, Dr. Albert Talone in the studio today. We're going to talk about how to recognize the early onset of dementia. We'll deal with that topic and start this conversation on that coming up at 12:45. Attorney Sam Kafferson is in the studio today. We get to meet Sam from the law offices of Samuel Kafferson. And Sam, we welcome you into the studio. And thanks for coming in on a busy Tuesday week.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, all good stuff. Marla, let's bring Lou into the conversation, get him started. And Dr. Lou, we welcome you into the Pain and Wellness Hour. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, very, very well, especially after this big win of ours.
There's such a great vibe, and you're right in the heart of it at Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located right on Broad. I imagine, Marley, you're going to be positioned, or everybody from Weinerman's going to be looking right at the parade on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely, considering that the most heavily populated area after the Eagles won the Super Bowl was right outside of our office. That was our Wawa that they were having the food fight in.
Oh, my goodness.
You know? Where are we going to get our coffee every day? But anyway, yeah, we're very excited about Thursday. And I do want to take the opportunity right now to not only congratulate all of our Philadelphia Eagles and the organization, but all of our fans. We have to say congratulations to us as well. We've all been behind the Eagles for so many years. Keep it safe on parade day, folks.
All right. All good stuff.
That's what I want to say.
And well said, Marla. Everybody gets a large congratulations. Dr. Lou, let's jump into our conversation and topic today. It's a simple topic, but one that has a lot of relevance and a lot of importance. We're going to talk about the benefits of drinking water. They're certainly numerous. There's certainly a long list of those benefits. I give you the floor to set the table for us.
All right. Excellent. Almost every day when we're here at the office, there's patients talking about losing weight, having more energy, how could I make my skin look nicer, and my go-to is always drinking more water. I always ask them, how much water do you drink? I don't think people understand the importance of water. Our body is made up of a large amount of water. Just can look it up yourselves. But to give you a little insight, our blood is 92% water. Our brain is 75% water.
Wow.
Our bones, 22% water. And our muscles are 75% water also. So what does that mean to you? So think about this as this is how your body operates. If you don't replenish the water that your body operates with, your body's going to operate at a lower level. So that goes along with every system I just mentioned, you know, your muscles, your brain, your skin. So increasing your water content is very important to allow your body to function at 100%.
So, Dr. Liu, that's kind of like the gasoline concept in a car, right? So it's kind of like the car doesn't work as well if you got gas, if you don't have
the higher
gasoline
octane,
or oil. Right.
Exactly. The higher octane, you know, they say the better gas is the higher octane. Same type of thing. The higher content of water you have, the better your body will operate.
Right. Dr. Liu.
Go ahead.
Dr. Liu Golasso is with us here in the Pain and Wellness Hour. Doc, I wanted to ask you about how water will help or impact your immune system. A few weeks ago here on the Pain and Wellness Hour, we had a good stirring conversation with Dr. Albert Talone about the flu and the epidemic of the flu. In the headlines, of course, are lots of tough, tragic stories about people that are losing their life to this rampant flu that's running across not only here in the Delaware Valley, but across the country. Does water impact your immune system?
Absolutely. That's one of the primary defenses we have in our body to utilize is our water consumption. One of our organs in our body, which is our liver, and another organ is our kidneys. Their two functions for those organs are to remove the toxins in our body. Well, the way those organs function at a higher level is by increasing our water content. The more water we do take in, the better our functioning, our livers will function and our better our kidneys will function by eliminating the toxins. Now, what toxins are? People think, oh, they might be chemicals. There's toxins in our environment. Pollution is a toxin. Greasy foods are toxins. Some, a lot of times, medications themselves create toxins also by helping your body to eliminate maybe a fever. It could also create a lot of byproducts within your liver and kidneys that you need to get rid of as soon as possible. And that's why the water content will actually help that to allow your immune system to get stronger and to fight off any type of infections that you may have.
So, Dr. Liu, to complement what you were saying, and also just on the contrary, too, not everyone requires the same amount of water, particularly with patients that have renal dysfunction, which is challenges in the kidney. They may be on a fluid restriction, as well as cardiac patients, where they have to actually watch their water intake so that they don't have a fluid volume overload. So it is challenging, you know, for a lot of patients, and for the average person, it's great. They should absolutely have water, but as far as patients that have challenges in the heart or the kidneys, that's something that we have to proceed with caution.
Absolutely. And I make that analogy here in the office by saying if you have an injured bicep, you wouldn't go to the gym and do bicep curls.
Right.
Because you have an injured muscle. Same thing with someone who's on dialysis. That kidney of ours is not operating at 100%. So don't give it so much water that it's going to overwork itself and possibly fail and cause more damage. So it's very, very good you brought that up, Marlon, because that's exactly a good point that we also hit here in the office.
Doc, I've been telling my kids this for many years, and I just sometimes struggle to get them to understand the importance, but the morning tip on the slide was rather simple. Have a nice cool glass of water as soon as you wake up. It sounds simple enough. Why so important?
That's an awesome question. I wish I could take myself here in the office. I literally had another conversation of that with a patient here in the office. Your body, when it's at rest at nighttime, is actually the best time that your body has to replenish itself, detoxify itself. So your liver is working at its highest level by detoxifying, by removing the toxins out of your body, and it's doing that the best at nighttime. So when you wake up in the morning, the best thing to rejuvenate, to kickstart that liver, to remove the toxins, to flush out all of the impurities out of your body is by having a large glass of water. And I always ideally suggest to put squeeze some lemon in there, because that's actually in itself a good purifier too for the liver. Lemon and water, and maybe if you want to add little apple cider vinegar. That in itself, like a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, squeeze a half a lemon into 24 ounces of water. You squish that all around and you drink that. That's a phenomenal way to start your day. Cleanses your liver and your kidneys, and it's actually very good for skin complexion also.
That is very true, but obviously you don't want to drink too much water before you go to bed at night, right? Because then you probably have to wake up in the middle of the night, which could be, you know.
I always suggest to drink your adequate amount of water, whatever it is, depending on your activity level, your weight, and your lifestyle, to stop drinking water around 6:30, 7 o'clock, depending that you go to bed around 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Around 4 hours before you go to sleep, 3 to 4 hours, you know, try to have your minimal water intake so you don't have to wake up and you have solid sleep.
Dr. Lou Galasso from Weinerman Pain and Wellness joining us here on the Pain and Wellness Hours. We broadcast you live on 860 AM WWDB on a Tuesday afternoon in the Delaware Valley. Doc, before we say goodbye and we move along with the program, one bullet point or one thought that you would pass on to our listeners about the very simple topic of water, but as you explained, not so simple in terms of the percentages and what it means to the human body.
Well, the one most important thing I believe with water, besides me hitting the subject again about toxins, most people always want to lose weight, want to become healthier. And I always have to tell them, start off with drinking your water. Your water is really your gateway into a lot of things to become healthier and more physically fit.
All right. All good stuff. Dr. Lou Galasso checking in here with us, kicking off the big show here on a Tuesday from Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Doc, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dr. Lou.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. All right. Take care. Bye-bye
all
now.
And all good stuff. It's Krause and Marla on a Tuesday afternoon. Marla, you obviously drink a lot of water in the morning. You start your day with water. I now have a valid reason to justify to my children why it's so important to start your day with a big cold glass. Glass of water. When we come back on the big show today on this Tuesday, attorney Sam Kafferson will join us. He's live in studio, and we'll talk with Sam later on in the program. 12:45, Dr. Albert Talone with conversation on how to recognize the early onset of dementia. We'll have all of that after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Help, I need somebody. Help.
And back here live on the Pain and Wellness Hour as we come to you on a Tuesday afternoon here on 860 AM WWDB. We're all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness Serious Doctors for serious injuries. Don't forget you can find more information from Dr. Lou Galasso and everyone down at Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Go to WeinermanPainandWellness.com. Dr. Albert Talone is in studio. We'll bring him into the dialogue at 12:45 today. We'll talk about the early onset of dementia. Right now, we're going to bring into the conversation attorney Sam Kafferson from the law offices of Samuel Kafferson, who joins us live in studio. And nice, and we thank you for making the trip to Bala Cynwyd today for lunch. And Sam, welcome into the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Sam, we're so honored to have you here today. And I love how the champion arms went up when we introduced his name. Man.
Automatic, like, right?
Automatic. It's this type of week that it is. It's Super Bowl week. We got Sam in the studio today. This is just an amazing experience. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited to be here. Yeah. I as soon as you gave me the invite about, a week ago, I said, yep, I'll be here. And excited to go on. And then, of course, to celebrate what we saw this past weekend.
Yeah, it's an epic week.
It really is.
So, Sam, one of the, obviously, you know, we're so happy to have you here, but we really want to hear a lot about you, a lot about your law firm, and for our listeners to kind of just highlight, tell us how you got started.
Okay. So I am a trial lawyer, is my profession, and I specialize in personal injury. And that is people who get injured, generally seriously injured, by the carelessness of other people or corporations, defective products, doctors. And what we do is we represent the injured people and try to bring their claims so that they're compensated for what they have gone through. You're never going to restore a lost limb. You're never going to restore a broken back. But what you can do and what our system provides for is to get the people fair compensation for what they have gone through, and that's what we do. The firm was founded in 1990, our firm. We've been in business for 28 years. My mother, actually, Carol Kafferson, was the one who started the firm, and she had been a trial lawyer before that. Mm-hmm. She then went out on her own. I graduated from law school in 1989. I went in with her, and we started to work together. And what been together since then.
An amazing story, and what a great...
How'd that work out the first year?
Yeah, I mean, it's like your mom. Your mom is like,
right?
She's your mentor, she's your role model, and she was your partner, so, you know.
Exactly,
wow.
Exactly. You know what? It worked out very well. I mean, sometimes it can be challenging because it's your mom, and so, you know, you have family conflict that can come into the workplace, but at the same time... I think overall it worked out far better than working, I think, for somebody else, at least for me, because she always had a very strong interest in my training, my experience.
Just personal, right.
Getting me onto files early on, making sure that I got the right training, the right legal education, so that I would be able to succeed in handling these files.
Well, let me ask this question. If you had a luncheon meeting or a marketing meeting and you were eating, did she say, Sam, use your napkin, you know, get your elbows off the table, you know? How did she
Could you wipe that off of your tie and close your mouth?
You got a little stain. Come here, let mommy help you. No, but for real, I guess, you know, in being a family member and being in business with a family member, I sure. know across the board it's challenging for everyone. So how did you guys leave things at the door if it was a personal situation versus when you came into work?
Mostly
that's got to be challenging.
I mean, mostly it's sometimes it really depends what it is.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we've always gotten along. So I really never kind of grew up in conflict with my parents
that's
or
great.
My mom, so that it was really an easy transition to make to go to work.
Right.
Now, you know, when you leave work and you work together, you know, sometimes, especially when I was younger and I lived at home, it was like there was no break.
Right.
Because then you get home to dinner and say, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that case?
Right.
Well, you know, it's nice to have some downtime in the evening.
You need to decompress.
Right.
Right.
And that I missed a little. But overall, it really was great because I always had somebody who was extremely interested in my succeeding, who I'm working with day to day. There was never that that conflict, which can come up in a lot of law firms where, you know, everybody wants to succeed for themselves.
Right.
And if the next guy happens to succeed, well, that's good too. But when it's your when it's a parent, when it's a sibling, you know, you
they're
really want to see.
Right.
Exactly. They're your number one fan.
Absolutely.
Attorney Sam Kafferson is joining us here this afternoon on the Pain and Wellness Hour, a trial attorney who specializes in personal injury. Sam, let me ask, let's get into the nuts and bolts a little bit of it. Let me ask you about one of the hesitations, perhaps, that you are forced to deal with or help your client overcome. I think there's whenever somebody is injured, no matter what the situation is or what the scenario is, I think that comes sometimes with the hesitation when the thought of getting legal help or bringing legal help into the scenario is presented to them, or they want to do that.
It's actually something that comes up a lot more often than people would think. I think that there is a misperception that goes around that everybody wants to be in a lawsuit. Everybody wants to make a fortune. It's all jackpot justice. The cases are phony. And I think that the reality when you work in the field is exactly the opposite. What I see are a lot of people who are, you know, very nice people, hardworking people who really did not look to get hurt and who are really not comfortable with the whole concept of suing somebody else or suing a corporation. And one of the more common things I hear is, you know, I'm not a type of person who likes to sue. I don't want to sue, but here's what's happened to me and I really feel wronged. And so it is something, that hesitation that you're dealing with all the time. And, you know, the way to deal with it or the way that I deal with it is to talk to them about, you know, you're talking about cases where the injuries are more serious, where they're legitimate, where they're documented, where the person has really been wronged and it is really seeking just to be compensated fairly, not seeking something that they don't deserve. So that, you know, it's not like this is a jackpot. It's like, you know, if you broke an arm, you're not lucky that it happened. It's something that's legitimate. And
well, I think that's probably one of the most challenging areas in personal injury. It's you have this constant battle between subjective information and objective information, what actually happened or what the client says happens or their perspective of the case. So, and I'm sure you probably deal with, like you said, jackpot justice and all that kind of stuff. There's probably so many gray areas that you have to sort of tread lightly around and to discover all of the facts. Did you ever sit with a client and, you know, the initial response is obviously to take on the case, but as you're listening, you're kind of a little bit unsure whether or not this is a true case or something that's legitimate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that I ask right away is once we get some, I get some sense of what's going on. And I actually, probably one of the craziest things that has ever happened to me with a new potential client is you're trying to get some sense. You know, most of the people that come to me are actually referred by past clients or other attorneys who don't practice in the field that I do. So in that way, it's almost like a kind of a screening mechanism before they even reach me. And then, you know, you talk to the people, you see what happened, what's going on, what they claim happened, and what their injuries are that they are claiming. And are they claiming injury? I mean, some people, you know, for instance, somebody could walk in and you say, well, what did you injure? And you say, well, I'm really not hurt, but I you know, he hit my car and I do think, you know, I could say I'm hurt. Well, right off the bat, you say, okay, so you don't have a case. So goodbye.
Right.
And you need to, you know, you need to have the ethical background to know it's not, there's no case. You know, I tell my clients, they're going to go to the doctor. If you hurt your neck, say you hurt your neck, but don't go in and say you hurt your neck and your back and your foot and your ankle. Just tell them what the problem
my
is.
My diabetes is out of control. I have high blood pressure. Everything else comes in.
Right. And because your case is going to be what we can prove it to be.
Right.
One funny thing that happened to me, probably the craziest thing that happened to me one time was I'm sitting in there, a client brings in a guy. Mm-hmm. The guy is telling me his story. He wants to sue. He was arrested for shoplifting. Mm-hmm. He's being accused of shoplifting, and he was arrested at Pep Boys outside of the store. His ride, who had brought him to the store, had left before he got arrested. And another client of mine brings him and is sitting there. And the guy starts telling me his story. I'm walking around Pep Boys, and I pick up a basket, and I fill it up with batteries. And I'm walking around, and I get the sense that I'm being followed. And I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm listening. Now, I don't know this guy from a hole in the wall, and I'm thinking, like, he goes in and picks up a basket and fills it up with batteries. Like, what's a guy need a basket full of batteries? But, you know, I don't know him.
Right.
And you don't want to assault somebody. So you say, okay, fine. And what happens? He said, well, I get the sense that somebody's following me around the store. And so I put my basket down in the back of the store, and I walked out, and then they grabbed me in the parking lot. I was like, well, why did you put your basket in the back of the store if you're buying the batteries?
Right.
He said, well, I decided I didn't want them. I said, well, what do you mean you didn't want them? What about – I said, why didn't you just take out your wallet and pay? Well, I forgot my wallet. I said, well, so when you walked out of the store, your ride wasn't there? He said, no, my ride left. And then I'm sitting here thinking, like, something
here
is
we go.
Wrong
right. yeah,
with this whole
it's so
story.
Fragmented.
The guy who brought him in the meantime, as soon as he hears the guy say he filled his basket with batteries – dropped it at the back of the store when he thought they were watching him and left. He gets up and walks out of the office. So now I'm thinking there's something going on here.
Right.
So part of the interview is
they were watching.
Okay. Well, yeah. So they arrested him in the parking lot. So part of the interview, and he says, I didn't have anything on me. Part of the interview is, do you have any criminal background? He says, well, I've been arrested once or twice. I said, well, what do you mean arrested once or twice? Like, what? This is going to come out. So
right.
if we're going to sue this store for this violation of your civil rights, what are we talking about? He said, well, you know, I did get arrested a couple times for shoplifting. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? I said, look, I'm going to have to get your background then. So why don't you just tell me what you have? He says, well, I haven't been convicted that many times, but I do have 49 arrests.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, so let me understand. So The career shoplifter wants to sue the store for chasing him out while he's trying to shoplift.
Right.
This is – so, you know, like you really – so to what you were saying, it was like you really do have to ask and kind of pry some of the information out because
– well, you know, it's
he thought this was legitimate.
That's the same thing. I mean, I – not to be personal on what I'm going through, but I had a situation where I had a rental property and I had squatters that came into the rental property. I had no idea why they were even, you know, they paid the past tenant who couldn't make rent, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. But anyway, they're suing me for the fact that they, the SPCA cleared out dogs that they were leaving in 105 degree temperature. The mother just gave birth because they were, you know, selling Rottweilers and pit bulls and they were breeding them in the house. I don't even know these people, right? So now they're suing me for the loss of the Rottweilers. So it was $700 a dog. So they're suing me for, you know, over $5,000 for that. And I mean,
oh
it'll.
Oh, my God.
Brian Fritz is representing me, so we'll be fine. So don't worry about that. Yeah.
That's right.
But, you know, it's just a point of like they, and the funny thing is, they actually have rights and a sense of entitlement. So they're doing wrong. It's like a guy that breaks into your house. If he falls down your steps, he's suing you.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Let me bring it to the other side, though. Let me
take
these two examples and bring it to the other side because if. For somebody who is, Sam, injured because of neglect or because of a scenario that they didn't create or that they tried to embellish, you still have to be able to validate and prove and support their case, yes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are what we're talking about are kind of things that can happen and how careful you need to be when you evaluate a case. By the same token, most of the things that I see are really things that are cases and people who are badly hurt. And, you know, we do our investigation to find out what it is, what caused it, but it's not situations where you're sitting here thinking, I can't believe I'm listening to this. You know, for instance, I represented a woman. Her husband's 57 years old, goes to the hospital for an upper endoscopy, which is a procedure where they're going to go in and look around with a scope inside of you. It's a simple in-and-out procedure. During the course of the procedure, He has a cardiac arrest, has severe brain damage, ends up in the ICU, dies about 6 weeks later. And the wife comes to me to find out what happened, what's going on. This is a medical malpractice type of case. And what we discover as we go through this case and the records is that the anesthesiologist gave too much propofol, which is the drug that actually killed Michael Jackson, and gave too much propofol, and that drove him into cardiac arrest. That case ended up going to trial. We believed in it. We researched it. We had doctors, different experts, anesthesiology experts, all come together to prosecute that case and try the case. We won at trial. It settled for a confidential amount after trial. But that's the kind of thing that we do is we look at what happened, we investigate it, we put it all together, because there's no doubt when you look at a case like that or a case, you know, a car gets hit by a train at a crossing. We had this case I just finished last year. And you know, when you look at the girl and you hear these are the injuries, you know they're serious already. So you're not going in thinking, oh, God, did she really get hurt or not?
Right.
You know, you're trying then to figure out how did it happen, what happened.
You probably have that gut reaction when you meet somebody, like that initial, you know, how to read people, I'm sure, at this stage in your career.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this a long time. Right. And
you know, and it all started under the guidance of your mother. Dr. Sam Kaferson is joining us here in the studio. He's from the law offices of Samuel Kaferson. We'll continue our conversation with Sam after we get to a commercial break. Still to come at 12:45, Dr. Albert Talone, how to recognize the early onset dementia. As Krause and Marla take you into the 1 o'clock hour. Back in a moment.
If you are injured and need rehabilitation to fully recover, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness in Center City, Philadelphia. If you're suffering from a diagnosed disease that is causing you great discomfort, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They will provide transportation to and from their Center City office. If you are confused, if you are troubled by your medical challenges, or if you feel hopeless because others have made you feel that way, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step. A developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
And back here live on the Pain and Wellness Hour as we broadcast to you on 860 AM WWDB. Glad to be here. And every Tuesday you'll find us from noon to one. We're all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries, as we come to you on a Tuesday afternoon, 48 hours away, Marla, from 3 million of your closest friends gathering along Broad Street right down to Eakins Oval and all of the celebration that'll take place on Thursday, which we look forward to.
Best week ever. That's all I'm going to say.
Good way to phrase
ever.
It up, no doubt.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're back with Sam. And I took something from your website, and I just think that is really powerful, especially today in light of, you know, there are some really happy people, I guess you could say, people, you know, trying to gain money, whatever it is. I feel like the general society needs money, right?
Sure.
You know, whether it's a wage situation or somebody gets hurt, people always want the most that they can. but one of your taglines that I got from your website is a boutique firm that has built reputation one case at a time. That's such a powerful statement. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, the boutique part is because we're a small firm.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that there because I think it's important when people go to look for an attorney, one of the things they got to consider is who is actually handling the files? Who is actually going to handle the case? If I go to court, who's going to be there? And, we live in an age where you've got big firms advertising all over the place. Come to us. We're going to get you money. We're going to get you this. We're going to get you that. And then the reality of those firms is that you go, and I'm not going to name names of them, but I mean they're sure. on the TV every morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them, the partner who you're seeing on TV is in Florida.
Right.
Well, he's not going to be in court with you.
Right.
He's going to be in Florida with his firm down there, and you're going to be in court with somebody, whoever they happen to have.
Right.
When you come to us. And I think that's part of what I emphasized there about one case at a time. And, you know, is I'm handling the cases. I am the one you're dealing with. Now, I have three women who work with me.
Sure.
I think the least senior has been with us something around 17 years.
Wow.
So the three people who are working with me and helping support me with the files have been here for many, many years. They're very experienced. I've been doing this and only this. I'm not in a situation where I did family law for 10 years and then I did criminal for 6 and I now do personal injury. I've been doing personal injury only for about 28 years.
It's truly a family practice. I mean, for people who've been there that long, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and so that when people come in, what they're going to get is they're going to get me handling each file, and I can only handle so many files, so I'm not going to take every single thing, no matter what it is that I can get my hands on. I'm going to try to be selective and pick cases that I think I can make a difference in, that I can really help people with what they're going through.
Right.
And consequently, that's how we've ended up kind of with fewer larger cases than many, many little cases.
Right. Quality over quantity, for sure.
Right.
And Sam, how different is it from the time the file begins until you get to the point where you're now in court and you're now there with the client to represent the client, to present on behalf of the client? That timelines are different for each case. I get that. But
right.
But how different is it from beginning to end?
Okay. A lot depends on the complexity of the case. In cases that are more straightforward, they may never even make their way into the court system. So the way you get into the court system is you file a lawsuit. And that means we draw up legal papers and file them at City Hall, and that puts them into the court system. You have, in personal injury cases, generally you have 2 years to do that, which means that for a simple case where the injuries are a defined period of time, maybe, you know, you go to therapy, you injure your back, you go to therapy for 6 months, it ends, we can put that together, we can send it out to the insurance company, and maybe in 9 to 12 months it can be settled. Now, a complicated case, for instance, medical malpractice, there are not that I have seen, medical malpractices that settle at that phase. They all go into litigation. They are all fought. They are all denied. You know, I mean, put aside the he cut the wrong leg off type of case, which everybody talks about and never exists.
That's a bad day.
You know, the reality is medicine is a complicated field. There are legitimate defenses a lot of the time, and a lot of times there's not. But that type of case is very complicated, and that can take 3+ years beginning to end if there are no appeals after trial.
Tough on your client?
Very. Those type of cases, and not just medical malpractice. I mean, a serious injury in an auto accident, in a bus accident. I had a woman, a girl, she was 15 years old. She was at a rap concert in the gallery. and they're standing. The escalator was stopped, so they're standing on the escalator between the first and second floor watching the stage. And the security did not regulate how many people were getting onto the escalator, so the escalator became entirely packed with viewers, all young teens, and they're watching the concert. And at some point, it becomes overloaded, and it just releases. The whole escalator just slides downwards.
Oh, my gosh.
My client's foot is caught in the mechanism and crushed. So she was 15, and that's her injury. So she has to be taken through that. Well, that's a complicated thing to figure out. You know, how did it happen? What went wrong on the escalator? What went wrong with security? Who's responsible for it? Who's publicizing the concert? Who's drawing all the people to the concert? And all of that has to be then kind of packaged and put together, which I did, and we did as an office, and ended up getting a great result for her, but a great result that was, you know, 2.5 years or so coming. Ultimately, that ended up being used to pay for her college education, which was nice to hear, because not everybody is that careful with the money once they get it. But that happened to be a story that ended very nicely for her and her family. She had a good recovery. She was treated at Children's Hospital, and the doctors there were amazing.
And how's she doing now?
She's doing well.
Good.
She's doing well.
Good.
I mean, she's not 100% perfect, but you know, for on a relative basis, she's doing well. She goes around, she wears shoes, she, you know,
that's
walks
good.
And does her
the
business
sports and that kind of thing. Yeah. Still and good.
Yeah. Dr. Sam Kafferson is joining us here in the studio on the Pain and Wellness Hour. Sam is with the law offices of Samuel Kafferson, and we're glad to have him in the studio. A few minutes left in our segment today before we go to a break. Don't forget, Dr. Talone will join us after the break on recognizing early onset dementia. But Sam, in all of your years of great experience that go back to when you first started working at your mother's firm and when this all started, that experience, I think, will resonate for, or does resonate for, existing clients, but also should be pointed out for those that perhaps are considering or are looking for an attorney. Experience in the courtroom and dealing with all of the minutiae that goes with it, I think is so important.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You really need to, with anyone looking for an attorney, you really need to start out right from the first interview, gathering all the information that we need. And that's how we approach every case. We start out from the first interview. We gather everything that we need. We immediately begin investigating, whether it's photographs, witnesses, expert witnesses that need to be consulted, all of it with an eye towards trial. You know, and if you prepare, and that's, I guess, what I was taught over years and in my experience has always been the case, is if you prepare the case from the very first day like it's going to go to trial, then you also maximize the chance that it will get settled at some point for an amount of money that will really fully compensate your client for everything they've been through. Because the other side will not be sitting there saying, well, we're not going to offer the money because they're never going to trial. You know, so that's why I said at the very beginning, you know, we look at ourselves, and the way I look at myself as a trial lawyer, and my specialty is personal injury work. And that's the approach that we have.
That one significant bullet point, Marla, I would say, is very, very important. I mean, I don't know the industry to make a blanket statement, but I gather from that there are some attorneys who don't prepare for trial. They prepare for settlement. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. There's plenty that whatever they get on whatever case. And you tend to see it especially in volume type of practices because – and by a volume practice, I mean basically the practices that I was talking about earlier that you know, where they're looking for a ton of little cases. They just – you know, they just want to turn them out. They don't want to take the time. They don't want them. They have an intake paralegal. They have a medical records paralegal. They have this paralegal, that paralegal. You know, the likelihood of the client ever having any contact with or seeing or speaking to their lawyer is extremely slim. Because if they can take a $50,000 case and turn it around for $35,000 with minimal effort, they're happy and they go on to the next one and just keep grinding them out. We work every case. We want to maximize the recovery on it. And so we don't take that approach. We take each approach just like we talked about before at every case, the case by case.
Yeah. That's definitely very important. I just, real quick, I just want to touch on, I noticed bicycle accidents. And I know we could really talk about this for a long time. We don't have a lot of time. But I just want to say, because we, you know, live in the city, there's so many bikers out there. And it really is a major problem. I mean, I almost ran one over myself on 13th in Washington. You know, I mean, the guy, he thinks he was in a car. So, you know, what can you say? I mean, how many of those cases do you handle? Or do you think, you know, they're putting themselves out there?
It's a combination. There are, you know, when you go around in Center City, what you see are a lot of the bicycle messengers. Now, some of them follow the rules. Some of them do not follow anything. And it's no wonder they're getting hit by cars.
Yeah, I see it all the time. It's ridiculous. I mean, they actually think they're vehicles. They're in front of you like, you know, I actually missed a light because the biker in front of me was checking his iPhone and he was blocking the street.
Yeah.
And then they get mad and then they get run over.
Right. But there are also cases. I mean, I represent a woman right now who was on the bike path in who was on the 202. There's a bike path that runs along 202 out in Horsham. She's on the bike path. She's crossing the street in the crosswalk with her bicycle. Somebody makes a left-hand turn coming the opposite way, never sees her, just turns right in front of her. She slams into the car. She goes flying off the bike. She breaks her wrist. She punctured a lung, you know, and this is the thing, like that's a bicycle case.
Right.
But not with some crazy bike messenger who's trying to dominate the traffic. It's just somebody who's legitimately on a bicycle.
Yeah.
And the cars, like motorcycles, a lot of cars are not paying attention for bikes and motorcycles on the road.
Right.
And they drive without any regard to them or for them, with the idea that, well, if the bike or the motorcycle hits me, they're going to pay the price, not me.
That's
the flip side of it.
Right.
Sam Caverson joining us here today in the studio from the law offices of Samuel Caverson, 215-241-9900. If you take anything from our meeting and from our interview with Sam here in the studio today, get yourself a trial attorney who specializes in personal injury. Well done, Sam. Thanks for coming into the studio. We'll get to a commercial break, slightly over the break. Sorry about that. We'll get to the break. Dr. Albert Talone will join us when we come back. Back in a moment.
Meet the doctors of Weinerman Pain and Wellness located in Center City, Philadelphia. Dr. Albert Talone, with over 40 years of medical excellence, you're in good hands. Dr. Michael Polino, specializing in the treatment of medical disorders like fibromyalgia. And Dr. Brent Weinerman, the ultimate medical professional who will treat you with an unconditional commitment to surpassing your highest expectations. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the Y? Or so you think. Sure, you know the Y for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the why as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Help,
5 on the Pain and Wellness Hour here on 860 AM WWDB, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. I always wait for the very end of the show when Dr. Albert Talone makes his debut on the weekly broadcast. Dr. T, how are you, sir? A topic we're never going to cover in the amount of time we have left, but I've been promoting how to recognize early onset dementia. That's where we begin our conversation today.
Well, we'll do some highlights, Joe, and we can always follow up next time we're on the air, and we can expand on that. But as we get older, we do tend to forget things. We get distracted. We forget all the time. We don't always pay attention. We put the keys in the freezer. We're looking for the car keys, the house keys, you know.
Or your phone when you're on it.
On your phone when you're around. Yeah. Your glasses when they're on the top of your head.
Yes.
You know, we tend to do that. We do that at any age. But what we're talking about is where folks forget where they are, forget their surroundings, can't read time, can't balance a checkbook, can't do simple arithmetic. And to their caregivers and loved ones and significant others and spouses, they notice that something's going on and it's becoming more persistent and consistent, and it seems as though it's getting worse. So usually it's a significant other that will report to us and say, you know, my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, whatever, friend is not doing well. And all of us have family members and or friends that are in this situation. There's 1.5 million people at least out there with this progressive disease. And it's costing the United States billions of dollars in health care when you figure caregivers, extended care facilities, hospitalization. And then when you add all the complications, like these people forget where they are, they forget their footing, their place setting, they forget things in the house. They have accidents in the home, and it can be lethal accidents. They sometimes get in cars and drive our cars, and you hear about these accidents. So when you put it all together, it's a very large problem. 50% of the people over 85 years of age will have some form of dementia.
If you're 52 years old, Doc, and you're listening to this program right now on 860, you might be saying, hey, you know what, that topic doesn't, you know, or that scenario really doesn't apply to me. But at the same case, I would make an argument that with 65 on the horizon, perhaps now or in your 50s is when you should start to pay attention.
Well, you know, we're starting to see some people in the mid to late 60s with this disorder, which is fairly young. We've always referred to this as something like past 72, 75 years of age, you know. So, and there's a lot about this that we don't know. We don't know the epidemiology. In other words, what are the causation of factors?
I was just going to ask you if you thought there was any correlation with the environment.
Don't know. Don't know if it's foodstuffs, things that we're eating, whether it's the environment or whatever, whether it's any kind of thing that we take for normal that we're doing every day. So you have to be mindful of this and aware of this. But, you know, we are seeing younger people coming down with this. And then also, you know, there's a hereditary component. You know, people get concerned about that. Is it genetic? Because, you know, if your loved one or your grandparent or your, you know, aged uncle or aunt has this condition, you're wondering, you know, is this going to happen to me? So there's a lot of things that we don't know about. And I think that it's causing a lot of angst amongst people, and it's very difficult dealing with this, folks. It takes a family to take care of these folks. It takes a lot of folks.
Symptoms, Doc, I know that, you know, you don't have to look far to realize or certainly understand that our life expectancy is now being extended. You know, with each passing month or with each passing year, I'm going to live longer. At one point, I thought I was going to check out at 60. Now I might make it 85. That's what the world's telling me.
Well, the challenge today is we're giving people quantity of life. The thing that we have to work on is to make that time here of excellent quality. So the feature is quality of life and quantity of life. You know, we want folks to be able to do, think for themselves, to manage themselves. And it's amazing. We have people in their 90s that function better than people in their 70s.
Yeah.
Why? We don't know that.
I actually had a question, Doc. A lot of people ask what the difference is between dementia and Alzheimer's, and how can you differentiate the two?
Well, Alzheimer's is the largest class of dementia. It's caused by an abnormal aberration. You know, it's just a strange protein that gets deposited in the cells in your head, in your brain. and it crowds out normal functioning of the brain cells, the neurons, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's the largest category of dementia. It's Alzheimer's disease. But there are infectious dementias, and there are frontal lobal dementias that occur, too.
You can't pick that up on an MRI like you can for the Alzheimer's, where you're actually seeing the protein.
It depends. You know, if you have a sophisticated neuroradiologist, you might be able to. But, you know, the way to really do this is a brain biopsy, but not many people are standing in line for that.
I was going to say
there are some blood tests that help us to differentiate among those, you know, and so it would take a full evaluation. But the majority of folks are suffering with Alzheimer's, classical dementia.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's probably such a difficult thing, you know, as you're watching your parents or loved ones, aunts, uncles, as they get older, is it just mere forgetfulness versus early onset dementia or Alzheimer's or something along those lines? It's you know, it's frustrating for family members, especially, you know, when they get so far past the dementia and it becomes progressive. It's almost like the death of that family member because they're so disoriented and it's not like the same person that they once knew.
No, you're right. It's a struggle. It's draining. It's hard to witness a loved one who communicated with you, full of life, vibrant, had a good vocation, active family member, caregiver, all of a sudden reduced to much less than that. And that's what's sad.
They don't even recognize your face or know your name in later stages.
That's the toughest. It's devastating. No name recognition, no verbalization, no understanding, and that's very tough.
And I think, too, also, you know, one of the risks of this type of disease is the fact, you know, when you're living alone, you're, like you mentioned earlier, a fall risk. You know, setting the house on fire. And, you know, I knew I had a patient years ago who was cooking paint on their stove. They thought it was soup, and they put, I don't even know why they had paint in their pantry. And they actually cooked, and it the whole house was, I mean, the doors and windows needed to be open. I'm surprised he was even alive just from the fumes. So, you know, that's a really scary thing. And then it's like you have to wait till something happens before something is done. So.
Well, crisis is a driving point, you know. Usually folks try to be as independent as long as they can. They like the independence. They want their own little place.
Yeah.
They like that place. You know, they raised their kids in that place. They their loved ones had a lot of activities there, holidays, mm-hmm. Christmas, Easter, you know, all kinds of holidays. And it's hard to walk away from all of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
we leave this segment and we take our inspiration from 99-year-old Phil Basser, the Philadelphia native who was in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl and got a chance to watch the Eagles win the Super Bowl. So congrats to Phil and Dr. Albert Talone. Thank you so much. We'll deal with the topic more in depth as we roll on here on the Pain and Wellness Hour. Again, how to recognize early onset dementia on the Pain and Wellness Hour, all presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. Sam Kafferson was with us in studio. Sam, quickly, I want to get an opportunity just to give you a chance to give us your contact information before we say goodbye.
Sure. Our phone number is 215-241-9900. The website, you can check us out, is www.sfkinjurylaw.com, and we're on Facebook at SFK Injury Law.
That's going to do it today for the broadcast of the Pain and Wellness Hour. On behalf of my partner, Jay Dock, who was unable to be here today, Marla Vitarella, nice job by
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
I'm Joe Krause. On behalf of all of our listeners around the Delaware Valley, I'll see you next time.